one of the most capable, well-educated, talented individuals that we read about in the New Testament was Saul of Tarsus. Educated at the feet of Gamaliel, a Pharisee of Pharisees, a man with a pedigree a mile long. He was a natural-born Roman citizen. What kind of advantage that gave him. Paul was a man, Saul of Tarsus was a man that had a passion for God to the point that he persecuted those he perceived as the enemies of God, including, of course, a persecution of Jesus himself. Jesus said, why do you persecute me? Why do you do this? Lord, who are you? I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute. What would you have me to do? You go in the city, there you'll be told what you must do. In spite of his abilities, he was wrong. He was wrong. Ephesians chapter 3. There's nobody able to do what God can do. God is the one who's able. He is able. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. What Jesus was able to do for Saul of Tarsus, he is able to do for you and me and for everyone who will come to him on his terms. There's three things I want to say this morning and then we'll go to the house. I want to tell you, first of all, that God is able to save. God is able to save. It doesn't matter who you are and what you may have done. God is able to save you. He has the power to save lost souls, including yours. No matter what you may have done. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, we find out how God can save us. For he made him, talking about Jesus, God the Father made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We know that Jesus died to save us from sin. We know that he died in order to give us a hope of eternal life. But what he did in his death was make it possible for us to be sinlessly perfect in Christ. By his shed blood. It doesn't mean that we never will sin, but it means that as long as we are walking in the light, our sins will not be charged against us. Based on 1 John 1 verse 7 through chapter 2 verse 2, and based on Romans chapter 4 verses 6 through 8. We can see that as long as we are serving the Lord, being faithful to him, God will not count our sins against us. We are righteous before him because of what Jesus did. He is able to save us. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, therefore in all things he has made him like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Jesus was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. We know that. We know that. And we know also that Jesus is always living to make intercession for us, according to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 25. If we will come to God on his terms, if we will draw near to God, he will save us through his son Jesus. He's able to save you, but you gotta believe in him. You gotta put your faith, your trust in Christ. You gotta believe in him enough that you will repent of your sins, confessing your faith that you believe he is the Son of God, the same way the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8. And then, of course, being baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, letting the blood of Jesus wash your sins away. That's the whole point of him dying on the cross. To save us from our sins, to give us that opportunity to go to heaven. He is able to save. Secondly today, Jesus is able to keep us. He is able to keep us. So many people are afraid of losing something. They're afraid of losing. Fear of loss is a great motivator. Have you ever heard of a girl playing hard to get? Now, guys, I know you have. Girl plays hard to get, you know. And the guy just tries even harder to make her like him, to make her notice him and think he's special because she's playing hard to get. He's afraid he's going to lose her. He's afraid he's going to miss out on that opportunity. So he's trying even harder. And that's what happens when people are afraid they're going to lose something. Sometimes they try even harder. Well, God knows that if we try our best to save our life, we're going to lose it. Jesus told us that. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life, lets go of charge, let's go of control of his life for my sake and the gospel. He will save it. Mark chapter 8, verse 35. Some folks are afraid they can't hang on, so they don't even try. And that's a terrible thing because we have God's promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us. We have his promise that God will supply our every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. We have God's promise that God is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Jude chapter 1, verse 24. He is able to save us. He's able to keep us. So there's no excuse if we give up. There's no excuse if we quit trying or if we don't try. We have the promise that no temptation is going to be unique to us, but every man deals with the same temptations. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. But in addition to God's promises that he can keep us, there is also a severe warning. Revelation 21:8. It says the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There's a warning. God is not only able to keep you as far as for salvation, but he's also able to keep you for judgment. If you do not serve him, if you do not obey him, if you do not live for him, not only is he able to keep those that are his, but he's able to keep his promise toward those that will not serve him. And this is a very serious warning. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, for this reason I also suffer these things. I know that God is able to save me, and he's able to keep me as his own, but he also is able to punish me if I do not serve him. So he says, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him against that day or until that day. Look at what God did for Noah. How he saved Noah and his family from a world condemned. Look at what God did for Lot. How he saved Lot and his two daughters. Would have saved his wife, but she didn't listen and she looked back. But Lot and his two daughters were saved from the cities of the plain in the day they were destroyed. God is able to save. God is able to keep his people and keep them safe. We can count on that. And number three this morning, God is able to satisfy. He can satisfy. Let me ask you something. How would you like to have all that you want of something? Say, enough toilet paper. Have you seen the crazy cartoons about toilet paper? Well, I've got one that beats that. It's not a cartoon. In Chattanooga, Tennessee, there are two young men that have lost their shirt. What they did, they drove around in Tennessee and Kentucky to every little backwoods dollar store and convenience store they could find, and they bought up 17,700 bottles of hand sanitizer. And we're trying to sell it on Amazon at ridiculous prices, and Amazon shut them down. So they have 17,700 bottles of hand sanitizer, and they can't get rid of it. Oh my. To have enough hand sanitizer, do you think they've got enough? To have everything that you could want. I'm talking all you want of something. How would you like that? Christ Jesus is able to satisfy our deepest needs. Now, I would invite all y'all to my house for lunch, but I ain't a gonna. We have got white beans and ham that the Amish would be proud of. And it's going to be fine. And you know what? I'm going to go home, and I'm going to crumble up my cornbread, and I'm going to put white beans and ham on that, and I'm going to put some pepper sauce on there, and some coleslaw, and some macaroni and cheese. And yeah, now, where are you going to eat? Okay, you can't go eat yet. I know, I'm just messing with you. Bless his heart. But I'm going to go home, and I'm going to fix my plate, and I'm going to eat a plate of good food. But I will not be able to eat a second plate because there just won't be enough room. I'll be satisfied. Now, it doesn't mean I never will want it again, but I will be satisfied. And that's the way it is with the Lord. He will meet your needs. He will satisfy you. He will satisfy your deepest needs. The need to feel loved. The need to feel accepted. The need to have confidence of salvation. The need for hope. The need for fulfillment, purpose, direction. Excuse me. Many folks have just enough religion to make them miserable. Just enough. They know they need to do better, but they don't even do it. They don't try. And they feel terrible. And they endure their religion instead of enjoying it. Philippians 4 verse 7. Excuse me. Got a dry throat all of a sudden. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Keep in mind our text, as we read at the very beginning of our lesson this morning. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. God is able to satisfy our deepest needs. He's able to save us. He's able to keep us. He's able to satisfy us. And one day, he's going to take us home. One day he's going to come back. Jesus is going to come back. And he's going to take his people home. And we'll be with God forever. Time will be no more. Suffering and sorrow will be in our past and never in our future. And we will be able to be with others that have been right with God, that have served him. We'll be able to enjoy heaven together in the presence of our God for all eternity. That's what we have to look forward to. And that's so much better than anything we can have in this life. But in this life, know this, our God is able. He's able to save. He's able to keep you saved. He's able to satisfy. If you're not a Christian, you're missing out on the greatest life that you could live. A life with purpose, with direction, and with hope. If you're not a Christian, then you're not ready to leave this world. And you better hang on as long as you possibly can. You better not take chances. You better be so careful. But in spite of all your care and all your caution, one day you're going to leave this world. So you might better think it through. If you're not a Christian, why are you doing this to yourself? Don't you know that Jesus loves you? And don't you know he died for you? Obey his gospel today. Become a child of God today. And if you're already one of his people, but you've been lax, indifferent, just not taking it seriously, You need to seriously think about your salvation. Think about your relationship with God. Think about heaven. And think about the warnings that the scriptures give us too. Think about these things. And if you find that in your life there is something missing, something wrong, if you find in your life that there's no closeness with God, you can fix that today. And we want to encourage you to do that. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation today, we want to invite and encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.